the old traditional hymn that we're so familiar with, and yet instead you're finding yourself singing, "O come, O ye unfaithful, O come, weak and unstable, come, know that you're not alone." We're all in the same boat. We're all weak. We're all unable and unstable. And let's be honest, we're all unfaithful. And we need the Christmas Christ more than ever. Lisa Klaus, she wrote that song. She had a little bit of touch-up help from Bob Coughlin, but she gives us the backstory. This is what she says. "I was struggling. It had been a long year and a half. Finances were stressful. I miscarried twins. And on top of it, I was battling a deep relational bitterness. So my church was having their annual service where they kick off the Christmas season with carols and special songs. And I, for once, was not singing. I told them that I wouldn't be able to sing. But what they didn't know is that I was too overcome with shame to stand on stage before my church. So that Sunday morning, I stood at my seat as they began to sing, 'O come all ye faithful.' And the first line of the song just clobbered me. It hit me like a giant wave of guilt. 'O come all you faithful, joyful and triumphant.' It's a grand song in itself, and we're so thankful for it. But at this moment in her life, she says, 'I remember hearing those words and thinking, I have been so unfaithful. My joy has dwindled, and I am triumphant in failure. And I didn't sing for the rest of the service. I drove home. My mind was still churning. Is that really who is invited to come to Jesus? The faithful, the joyful, the triumphant? If so, then I am hopeless." Thankfully, she says, later on that afternoon, the Holy Spirit prompted her and convicted her to remember the words of the Lord Jesus from Matthew 11:28, where he says, "Come, all you who are weary and heavy laden, those of you who are burdened with a heavy weight, come to me and I will give you rest to your soul." Jesus invites not those who have it all together, really, but instead he invites those who are lowly, those who are hurt. Anyone here tonight feeling misunderstood? Maybe someone here tonight feeling desperate. Those are the kind of people that Jesus calls, and he says, "Come to me." So to all who are weary and need rest, and to all who mourn and long for comfort, and to all those who have failed and need strength, and to all those who have sinned and need a Savior, "Come to me," says the Lord Jesus. "Take my yoke upon you," by which he means become my follower, be my disciple. "I am meek and lowly of heart. I will give you rest to your souls. Come." Yesterday, I headed out to preach at the seniors' homes in Bolton. And when I got on the road heading southward on Airport Road, it only took about 5 or 6 minutes, and suddenly I could see beautiful Christmas lights on the horizon. But they seemed to be moving towards me, and then I noticed that cars were pulling over to the side of the road. And I, as one does, pulled over to the side of the road as well, and actually ground to a stop when the second police cruiser and then the third police cruiser just hustled on by. Afterwards, of course, everything just resumes like nothing had happened. Everyone in the same direction, we all get back up to the same speed again. I remember thinking to myself and praying, in effect, and saying, Lord, man, somebody's in trouble. And whether they know it or not, they need Jesus. It only took like another 7 or 8 minutes. Now I'm heading eastbound on King Road, and I see some more beautiful Christmas lights, but this time they're on this long fire truck and also on an emergency services vehicle. And these two emergency vehicles, they're lined up in a kind of V formation, jackknifed on purpose, out into the lane that I'm driving in order to kind of flank the mouth of the driveway that leads to a farmhouse. So everybody's just slowed up in traffic, and we're just slowing right down, and we're all rubbernecking and looking, and then we, you know, circumvent, make our way around, and off we go, and all is well, apparently. Again, we resume our direction and our speed. And this time I'm thinking to myself, man, Lord, wow, what's going on today? Like, I'm thinking somebody is hurt. And loved ones, they're going to be hurt too. Whether they know it or not, they need Jesus. When I got to Bolton and to my second destination, I had brought with me a large print Gospel of John that I had promised to this elderly gentleman. I'd seen him a couple of weeks earlier. And we sat down in his room, and he was telling me his take on the Christmas story from a kid growing up in Sunday school, and I was sharing with him the gospel, and he was interested. He said he'd like to read more about it. So I was bringing that for him, and when I arrived, before I got into the chapel room, I was taken aside by one of the caregivers who said that, unfortunately, Mr. So-and-so had just passed away a couple of days ago. But his daughter was here. So I felt sad to myself, but at the same time, I thought it was remarkable that she was there, because she was such a faithful visitor of her father. But, I mean, at Christmas time, and especially under these circumstances, I would expect her to be anywhere else but she was there. So after the service was complete, I could tell she was lingering around. She wanted to talk. So we were able to find a spot and sit down, and I could commiserate with her. And she wanted to tell me that for her, it had occurred to her while the service was going on that it's true that I was saying that there was a non-ignorable movement of God coming towards us through Christmas. That God is constantly on the move. He's never backpedaling, much less just standing on the spot. He's seeking, he's searching, he's coming to us. And she said, I believe that now. And she said, you know what? I'm even going to bet that when you start to seek for God yourself, probably what's really going on, he's already been seeking after you in the first place. And I said to her, oh man, that is amazing. That is so profound what you have just said. As a matter of fact, it is so biblically profound. Because as you know, Jesus said, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have come not to call the self-righteous, but to call the sinners to repentance. Jesus said, I have come to seek and save those who are lost. On one occasion when he was talking to some skeptics, he said to them, I'm really like a shepherd of 100 sheep. And I'm willing to leave the 99 sheep who are safe in the open country and go and find that lost sheep who might be out on the ledge somewhere, so that I might rescue that sheep and drape it over my shoulders and bring it home to safety. Jesus said, I've come to bless those who are poor in spirit. Jesus said, I've come to comfort those whose eyes are filled with tears. Jesus said, I have come to give fulfillment and satisfaction to those who are hungering and thirsting. Just as the old ancient predictive prophecy said through the words of Isaiah, unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. He's a peace bringer. He's a peace giver. The kind of peace that the world cannot provide. You know, I found this little piece by Joni Erickson Tada that is drawing us in and capturing the story in Bethlehem that we just read earlier from Luke chapter 2. Let me just read a chunk of it to you. She says, it was a chilly night in little Judean town of Bethlehem. The kind of night when you want to escape the cold, damp air and find warmth and security inside a cozy inn. And people crowded tightly into the inn at the end of the street. They left their donkeys and camels in the back stable and they closed the door against the night air. Inside the inn buzzed with laughter and chatter, distant relatives who'd not seen each other in years, renewed family ties over bowls of hot soup and goblets of wine. They broke bread together, swapping stories of their journeys. A teenage boy strummed his lyre in the corner, and several fathers clapped their hands in time to the music. In the rush to serve tables, the innkeeper balanced a tray of breads and meats and answered a knock at the door. A man calling himself Joseph stood outside, pulling his homespun cloak tightly around his neck. It was late, it was cold, and he and his young wife needed a room. A glance told the innkeeper the woman was heavy with child. He could barely hear himself talk with so much noise behind him. What he managed to explain that there was no room, only an empty stall or two in the stable out back. So shrugging his shoulders, the innkeeper quickly apologized and shut the door tightly. Outside, Joseph stood for a moment, listening to the laughter inside. Back in the stillness of the night, Mary waited. The young couple, they made their way to the stable, and while music and laughter and feasting went on, just yards away behind the walls of the inn, the Son of God quietly entered history. It's true, isn't it, that some of the best Christmas moments are sometimes often very, very quiet moments, those non-ignorable moments when God unexpectedly surprises you with himself, when he overwhelms you with his own nearness, with his own love, because you've come to discover that in discovering him, he was already searching for you. And so Joni says, think of the stable in Bethlehem. Somehow it stands serene. What a contrast to the celebrating that's going on in that inn. Who would have supposed? Who would have suspected? If someone had only taken the time to peer out the back window toward the stable, if someone had only dropped what he was doing to leave the party and go check on his donkey, If somebody had only slipped away from the festivities to seek a quiet moment outside, just think of what they might have witnessed. Perhaps they would have seen the angels, maybe the shepherds, and yes, even the Son of God. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. O come, all you unfaithful, come, weak and unstable. Come and know that you're not alone. Come, barren and waiting ones. Come, weary and praying ones. See what your God has done. Oh, come, bitter and broken. Come with fears unspoken. Come taste of his perfect love. Be born again. Be renewed again. To all who are weary and need rest, and to all who mourn and long for comfort, and to all who have failed and need strength, and to all who have sinned and need a Savior, come, come, come. Christ is born for the likes of you. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you would create within our hearts a renewed trust and hope. Because the Lamb was given, and because he was slain for our pardon, we know he is the promiser of peace. He is our peace and reconciliation with you and with one another. And so, Lord, we pray in his name, our great Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.